Hey everyone, welcome to Pastor Rick Warren's Daily Hope. Now we're going to continue our series today called Building My Life on Values That Last. And Rick will press on and show us how we benefit when we apply the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love to our lives. Okay, let's get right into today's message with Rick sharing the final part of a message called The Balanced Life.
As a pastor, I have been by a lot of bedsides when people died. I've seen a lot of people take their last breaths. Sometimes in a hospital, sometimes in a home, sometimes at a scene of an accident. And in all of the people that I've watched die in my life, I've never heard a single person say with their dying breath, "Boy, Rick, I wish I'd spent more time at the office." Not one. "I wish I had made that one more sale." I have heard a lot of people say things like, "Sure wish I'd spent more time with my kids. I sure wish I'd got to know God better. I sure wish I'd focused on the things that really matter." You have to adjust your values. And then comes the end.
Well, I'll let Kay tell you that.
A very important part of living a balanced life is learning how to nourish your inner life. Learning how to nourish and tend the inner fire that God puts within each of us. He puts an inner fire within each of us that gives us the passion and the zeal and a reason to get up in the morning. And it's a fire that has to be tended. If you don't tend it, if you don't nourish that fire, you will find that it goes out eventually, and you are then trying to live your life and meet other people's needs from a very little cold embers rather than a blazing fire, that the passion and the zeal will go out of your life if you don't tend this inner fire, nourish your inner life. Song of Solomon 1 verse 6 says, "I had no time for myself." I think most of us can relate to that verse at least some point in our lives, feeling like you have no time for yourself. When you feel that way, it's a warning light that that inner fire is going out, that there are attacks on that inner fire, and if you're not careful, it will go out and there will be nothing left. For me personally, this is a tremendous struggle. In this area, I have struggled with this whole idea of balance. This is something I've worked at for years and years, and I don't have it mastered. I don't have it mastered, but it's what I'm working on. And this particular area of nourishing the inner fire, making sure that my soul is growing, is difficult for me. But I am learning that the more that I tend that inner fire, the more strength and joy that I have to face life. And if you find yourself facing life from a very dead, cold, empty vantage point, know that you have allowed that inner fire to go out, or at least be dimmed. Rick talked about loving God, and that part of loving God and loving your neighbor is loving yourself. That's a verse there on your outline out of Matthew about love God with all your heart and then love your neighbor as yourself. A person who neglects this inner fire is not loving himself or herself. And God tells us where to do it. He knows how important it is. If we allow this inner fire to go out, it's like we're a tire that develops a bald spot. Now, my husband is brilliant. He is brilliant mentally. He is a dunce with mechanical things. His idea of preventive car maintenance is when the car dies on the side of the freeway, oh, it's time for an oil change. And so he used to have this car that we called La Bamba. It was a La Bamba car, and we loved that car. But La Bamba car never got its tires changed or rotated. And one Sunday when we were at Tribuco Hills High School, one of the maintenance men came up and said, "Pastor Rick, your car is in major trouble. One of the tires has got a balloon on it about this big." Now, we're so ignorant about cars, we didn't know that if that little balloon on the tire exploded, that it could like hit him and kill him and all this kind of stuff. I mean, we're totally ignorant about cars. This maintenance guy took it upon himself to fix that tire for us. He risked his life by changing that tire. Our lives frequently developed those great big ball spots, those balloons that if you touch them, they're going to explode and they're going to wipe everybody out in the process. And when you or I neglect to nourish our inner life, to tend that fire, we develop these spots on our lives. And the way you can tell, if you're so irritable all the time that the least little thing bugs you, if you can't handle anybody disagreeing with you, if you can't handle a delay or an interruption or a stoplight makes you think you're going to push the car, you know, you're going to push the floorboard, the accelerator on the car and get through that lane, that's a sign that you have not been nourishing your inner life. And God says we're to do it. Our society encourages us in this. Our society encourages us to live externally, to live from the outside in, to make sure that everything looks really good on the outside and just hope somehow that we can cover up for what's going on the inside. See, in our society, what is valued is the appearance of something, how it looks. I mean, tell me this honestly. What does it matter if you've got an immaculate yard? Every weed is picked. Every little blade of grass is where it should be. And your house is decorated flawlessly. And your car has got a shine that's incredible. And you have got a desk at work that is lined up and everything is just so. What does it matter if all of that externally looks good and on the inside there is death and bitterness and rage and frustration and unforgiveness? God tells us that we are to live our lives from the inside out, not from the outside in. And that has to do with tending that inner fire. Let me ask you, what are you neglecting in your life right now out of busyness? What is it that you have stopped paying attention to or stopped doing completely because you're just too busy? Maybe it's praying. Maybe it's spending time with God. Maybe it's doing stuff with your kids. Maybe it's spending time with your husband or your wife. Maybe it's the friend that you haven't talked to in a year because you're really just too busy. What is it that you've stopped doing because you were so busy? What do you do for fun? What do you do on a weekly basis for fun? We talked about this at the women's retreat a few weeks ago, and I told the ladies that shopping doesn't qualify as nourishing your soul. Okay? It may be fun, but it does not in any way make your soul grow and be better. Gentlemen, spending time at your computer may be a blast, and you may be able to cruise the internet like nobody's business, but it doesn't enlarge your soul. It doesn't tend the inner fire. For me, I've picked up something that I have not done for 20 years. In January, I took my acrylic nails off, and I've started taking piano lessons again. Because it's tending the inner fire. It's nourishing the inside. I do it for fun. I don't do it to ever play for anybody else. I do it because it brings joy back into my life. Charles Swindoll says in his book, Growing Strong Through the Seasons of Life, he talks about how one time he went to a beautiful home where there was a gorgeous stone fireplace with a rock wood mantle over this fireplace. And he could see words carved in that mantle. So he walked up closely to see what words were on that mantle. And it said this, "If your heart is cold, my fires cannot warm you. A three-car garage cannot warm a cold heart. A promotion at work cannot warm a cold heart. A two-week vacation to some fantastic spot cannot warm a cold heart. What will warm a cold heart is contact again with the living God." It says in Psalm 119:16, "I will delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word." God called David, the man who wrote those words, a man after his own heart. And if you're finding the fire in your life has gone out, it's cold, it's going out, get back in contact with the living God and let him begin to warm up your heart again. To be balanced, you have to nourish your inner life. And then the sixth is C, commit your daily schedule to God. Each day, you and I have to commit our schedules to God, knowing for an absolute fact that your life is not going to cooperate with your schedule. Know it for a fact. How many of you are list makers? Every day, you've got a list of things to do. Some of us are just absolute. We've got to live by that list. And I tell you, this is a place I get so frustrated, because anybody who messes with my list, I get so mad. I have my idea of how my life is supposed to go. I'm doing this, 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 this today, and I'm doing it in this order. And I don't want anybody messing with it. I don't want Rick coming up and saying, oh, let's do this instead. I don't want my kids going, oh, Mom, I forgot to tell you we've got to do this. No, I've got my list. I'm living by this list. Don't mess with it. And I get very frustrated and very bent out of shape. And when God reminds me of this verse in Psalm 31:15b, my times are in your hands. When I live by that verse, the stress level goes down. When I understand that God knows what I'm supposed to be doing on any given day, I may make my list. You may make your list. Go ahead, but commit it to God, knowing that He alone knows what you and I are supposed to be doing on any given day. In Matthew chapter 9, there's a story of Jesus, and He's on His way going to heal a dying child. A dying little girl. And on the way to heal this dying little girl, a woman who has a chronic illness of over 20 years stops him. And he stops and heals her. And I look at that and I go, Jesus, excuse me, we're on our way to an emergency here. Why can't this lady wait? And the Bible doesn't answer that question. But what it tells me is this. Jesus understood this principle. He understood that the Father knew where He was supposed to be at any given moment in time. And He was willing to be bendable and flexible and let God show Him where He was supposed to spend His time. If you want the stress level in your life to go down, allow yourself to be bendable and flexible. Give your schedule to God and say, God, I have my ideas of where I think I'm supposed to be today. I have my ideas of what I think I'm supposed to accomplish. But God, here's this interruption. Do I need to stop and take care of this? Or is this something that you want me to just bypass and put off? Don't make the decision yourself. Let God be the one that helps you know what you're supposed to do on any day. Give that schedule to Him. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says that there are seasons, and there's a season for everything. God knows what you're supposed to be doing. God is the one who sets up the seasons in our lives. Let Him be the one that tells you what you're to do on every day. There's one last key to living a balanced life that will help your life stay in balance, and that's to enjoy the moment. Rick's going to talk about that.
I've shared this sentence with you before, but I think it might be good to write it down again. I have just enough time to do God's will. Write that down. I have just enough time to do God's will. Now, if I find that there are more things on my schedule to do than I have the time to do them, it means either A, there are things on that list that God doesn't intend for me to do, or B, I'm doing them in the wrong way. Because God would not give me a list of things that are His will to do and then not give me the time to do it. Does that make sense? So when I've got more to do than I've got time to do it, it means some of those things are on there by my choosing, not by God's choosing. And God does not expect me to do everything when He doesn't give me enough time to do it. So I may be just doing it in the wrong way, I may be wasting time, or I'm just trying to do too much. Regardless of whether it's either of those, I need to learn to enjoy the moment. Is it possible to get so busy and so focused on a goal you don't have any time to enjoy right now? Sure. We tend to be such forward thinkers that we often forget to stop and smell the roses. The Bible says it like this. In Ecclesiastes, it says, all of us should enjoy what we have worked for. It is God's gift. Now, I want you to beware of what I call the trap of when and then thinking. When and then thinking goes like this. When I achieve this goal, then I will be happy. When I graduate, then I'll be happy. Or when I get engaged, then I'll be happy. Or when I reach this certain economic level, then I'll be happy. Or when I have this much set away in the bank, then I'll be happy. Or on and on and on. You just name your then. The point is, you won't. Because the moment you get there, you'll enjoy it about 3 seconds. Then you go, okay, what's next? What's the next goal? What's the next level? What's the next achievement? What do I do now? And you need to learn to be happy in the now while you're working on goals. It's okay to have goals. Fine. God says work on goals. But you need to understand that the goal of life, listen, the goal of life is not accomplishments. Do a whole bunch of things and you know, rack them up on your resume. That's called humanism. The goal of life is not acquisition. Get a whole bunch of things and pile them all up. That's called materialism. The goal of life is not even just to have fun. Just have as much pleasure as you want. That's called hedonism. The goal of life, the reason you were put here on this earth, are two things. Number one, to know God, get to know Him, and enjoy a relationship with Him. And two, use the talents and gifts He gave you to serve others, because that builds character for eternity. Life is a test. We've talked about that. God says two things, two goals in life. One, get to know me, love me, and enjoy me, and have a relationship with me. And two, use the talents and gifts I gave you to serve other people, because I'm testing your character for eternity. And while you're doing it, enjoy all the moments. Proverbs 14:30, let's read this aloud. A relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life. May I suggest you buy Hawaiian shirts? It's just a relaxed attitude. I'm going to outlast you all, so there. You see, there are three types of fatigue. There's physical fatigue. That's when your muscles get tired. There's emotional fatigue. That's when your emotions get tired. And there is spiritual fatigue. And that's when your heart dries up and you just don't feel close to God. And you feel like when you pray, nobody's listening. Now, physical fatigue can be cured by rest. But it takes more than rest to rejuvenate emotional and spiritual fatigue. If your spirit is dried up, a three-week Tahiti vacation isn't going to do anything for it. It may rest your body, but you come back and you still got the same problems you left with. So you need more than that. What you need to do is you need to get plugged back into the power. And you do that by putting Christ back at the center of the hub of your life. Now, as a Christian, you can take Christ out of the hub. You can put ministry at the hub of your life. You can put church at the hub of your life. You can put family at the hub of your life. You can put money or you can put anything at the hub of your life. But if it's not a person, Jesus Christ, you're missing it. And the power's turned off and you start getting tired. And you got to get back in balance. Honestly, folks, I'm grateful that this value balance came up number four in the series because I needed this message. The last 5 weeks have been absolutely horrendous. I mean, it's just been 24 hours a day, late nights, early mornings, all kinds of stuff for me and for the rest of the staff. Just one incredible thing after another. And each week I was going, you're getting out of balance, you're getting out of balance. I could see it. So I preached this sermon for me tonight. And, if you got anything out of it, well, I'm grateful, that's fine. But really, I just needed to hear it myself. And, you know, I thought that maybe Kay needed to hear it too, so I got her involved. So so if it helped you, I mean, I'm glad. But, you know, periodically, there's nothing new what we're talking about tonight. Nothing's new. You've heard me talk about this before many times here at Saddleback. But you know what? Knowing it doesn't mean you're doing it, right? It doesn't mean you're doing it. And preaching it doesn't mean you're doing it either, okay? You got to do it to do it. Let me just wrap it up. There are two main reasons we get under stress. We try to do too much, and we try to do it in our own power. And both of those are killers. And they'll wear you out, and your energy will go down, and you're out of balance, and the joy leaves. And you need to get plugged back in to God's power. So Jesus offers us an exchange program. Look at the last verse. Here's what Jesus says, Matthew 11. Come to me. Just come to me. All you who are tired and have heavy loads, and I will give you a whole lot more to do. Now, I misread that. That's reviled substandard perversion that I just read. But I will say this. A lot of you think that. You see, some of you are afraid to really sell out to God. I mean, to go whole hog, 100%. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ and not be ashamed of it. I'm going to be a total Christian. Because you're afraid that if you do, God's just going to load more on you than you've already got. And you're dead wrong. Oh, He may add some things to your schedule. But I guarantee you, He'll relieve more than He adds on because He wants you to be balanced. And He will replace trivia with what really is going to matter. what's going to count 10, 30, 50, 1,000, 1,000,000 years from now, not what isn't going to even matter 10 minutes from now. The myth is that if I live God's way, He'll give me more to do. The fact is, He says, I'll exchange your pressure for my peace and my power. He says, come to me, all you who are tired and heavy loads, and I will give you rest. R-E-S-T. That sounds good. The load I give you to carry is light. Now look up here. If you are carrying a heavy load tonight, it's not from Jesus. If you're carrying a heavy load tonight, it's not from God. He does not place heavy loads. He says right here, the load I give you to carry is light. And God will never put more on you than He puts in you to bear it up. Now, we put more on ourselves, but He won't. So let Him straighten it out. Let's bow our heads. As we close tonight, I invite you to pray these points. Would you say, Dear God, I want to build my life around Christ. I mean, you may have been a believer for 30 years, but you say, you know, I've let something else take the center of my life to become the hub. It may be a person. And a flimsy center creates a fragile life that falls apart under stress. Lord, I want to build my life on Christ. Would you help me to accept my humanity, to quit trying to play God, and realize I can't meet everybody's needs or solve everybody's problems? Help me to limit my labor. Help me to observe a Sabbath day every week, to rest my body, to recharge my emotions, and to do the things that help me refocus my spirit in worship. Help me to adjust my values, to care more about being balanced and healthy than making money or impressing others. Help me to realize it's better to have a little with peace of mind than be busy all the time. And God, I ask you to help me nourish my life, to not neglect your word, to make time for prayer, to get alone and be quiet with you. Every day. I commit my schedule to you. My times are in your hands, knowing that you have a plan and a purpose even greater than the interruptions that I face. So help me not get stressed out by irritations or interruptions or inconveniences. And help me to enjoy each moment, realizing that the life you've given me is a gift. Help me to have a relaxed attitude. I come to you tonight, Jesus, giving you my heavy load in exchange for your light load, giving you my pressure for your peace and power. Christ, I want you in my life at the center. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick, and I hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick, at PastorRick.com and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus, and I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
Such a great message by Rick today and every day. I sure hope you were just as encouraged as I was. And now, here's Rick with an important message.
Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. You know, my hope is that God uses this broadcast to help deepen your relationship with Jesus. Now, these Daily Hope messages are distributed on radio stations and digital platforms all across the globe. And listeners are writing and letting us know that their lives are being changed. They're telling us that they're walking with Jesus and that guilt and fear has been chased from their lives by God's love. You know, relationships are being restored and marriages are being healed and Many people are saying that they found their life purpose. I want to say thank you to you, because we're only able to carry the hope of Jesus to these people all around the world because of gifts from generous listeners like you. I just wanted to say I am so grateful for your prayers and your financial support. Now, I understand in times like these, many of you are unable to give financial support. Hear it from me. That's okay. Because I never want anybody to give unless God leads them to give. That's between you and God, not between you and me, but between you and God. And your prayers are a continual and incredible contribution to this Daily Hope ministry. Now, if you do want to give a financial gift, I've got some really great news to share with you. There's a generous friend of Daily Hope Broadcast who is offering to match the amount of your gift. In other words, if you give $20, then that person is combined it with a grant to make your gift $40. Now, if you've never given a gift to Daily Hope, I want you to pray about partnering with us so that together we can continue to share the hope of Jesus throughout the whole world. I love you so much.
You know, when you give a gift to Daily Hope, you're really sharing the hope of Jesus with people all over the globe. And right now, your gift is going to be doubled by the $50,000 matching grant. That's right, double. Just go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, please go to PastorRick.com or just text the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.